us with the radio playing low end.
SAS Tower was notified about an outage affecting parts of Regina and a large rural area to the north and west of Regina.
But this was a really strong low-pressure system that produced these winds. Pretty rare with this type of system. You know, usually this time of year, we only get winds like that out of thunderstorms.
We've seen a bunch of vehicles pulled over and looked, and there was a semi that got flipped over from the wind. And everybody's around there giving the guy a hand. In the direction you look, you can see things flying around, and you can feel it in your vehicle pushing you around. You could really tell it was windy out there.
Well, good morning and welcome to Friday morning. Evan Bray, good to have you here. Boy, how about that storm? Did you survive that spring storm yesterday? A lot of rain, a lot of wind, power outages in the province. We're seeing trees across roadways. We're seeing deck chairs blown about in communities. And, of course, added to some of the flooding that we're seeing in parts of the province, which, by the way, still 11 communities in Saskatchewan under a state of emergency. So our newsroom has lots to work on. We've got reporters out throughout the province working on that, and we'll keep you up to date on the weather as we move through the day today. And it is a busy day. We've got a busy show. Hot on the heels of yesterday's announcement of a national electricity strategy, we welcome a couple of guests on the show today. Premier Scott Moe a little bit later on this morning. Federal NDP leader Avi Lewis is actually going to be here in just a minute. Speaking of politicians in the province, Federal Transport Minister Stephen McKinnon is in the province speaking with the Saskatchewan Chamber of Commerce this morning as we speak. He joins us a little bit later on in the show as well. And there is an announcement today. Prime Minister Carney and Premier Danielle Smith are making an announcement. They've got a what they're calling a signing ceremony in Alberta. We will be carrying that live at 11:30. And then throw in there a little boating safety. And, of course, because it's Friday, we've got Bugs and Hugs at 10 o'clock. It's Eaton time at 11 o'clock. And we've got a special taste test happening today. We got sent to us butter tarts after the whole discussion that we created, a provincial discussion on what is the ultimate butter tart, which is, of course, a Canadian delicacy. Well, we've got a listener that sent us some in. We'll test those on the show a little bit later on today. All right, let's get going. Here is today's Big Talk.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
Avi Lewis is the newly elected federal NDP leader, elected within the NDP party, yet to be elected to the federal House of Commons, something that we are going to talk about because leader for the NDP, Avi Lewis, touring Saskatchewan, and has made one of many stops into our studio this morning. Mr. Lewis.
Morning, Evan. Great to be here.
Oh, we got the wrong microphone.
Can I move this one over?
No.
He's going to switch it?
Yeah, we got her there. Sorry about that.
Big talker without a mic. That's a problem.
That's right. We need a mic. Welcome to the province. You picked, weather-wise, you picked quite a time to be here.
You know, I live in BC. We're used to little wind, but it's intense here on the prairie.
And you're doing a bit of a tour of the province. What stops have you made? What stops
Seven are you communities in 4 days. I was in Moose Jaw last night. Mm-hmm. We started at the Cowessess First Nation. We were at Starblike at Cree Nation as well. And going to Saskatoon. We're going up to Prince Albert. It's a quick tour, but covering a lot of ground.
Starblank had just had a big fire on their First Nation.
So we're in an era of floods and fires, as everybody knows.
Yeah.
I'm going to try not to talk about climate change too much today, but let's just say that this is worse. We've always had weather, but things are getting worse on planet Earth.
Well, Mr. Lewis, I think the nature of what I'd like to talk to you about. This is the first time we've had the opportunity to have you on the show. Let me start here. This feels like you've been tasked with a complete rebuild of the NDP. I mean, let's state facts. The NDP federally have been decimated to a handful of seats. You've lost your federal party status in the House. What do you bring that's different from Jagmeet Singh, and how are you going to rebuild that party?
Well, I mean, I arrived in a minivan so we can have our caucus meetings and just in the van.
You're going to make the joke so someone else doesn't? Is that?
No, seriously. Obviously, we've been reduced to a small caucus. And I think it's a kind of a, we're at the bottom of the cycle, you know, but this is rebuild time. And I think it's, from the high water mark of Jack Layton in 2011, it's 15 years now. And this cycle has come to an end, and it's time for a rebirth of the NDP. I don't think Canadians want to live in a two-party system. We've seen what that brings in the United States, and there's a need for a left perspective in politics in Canada. Whether you agree with it or not, most Canadians feel we want to have a good debate in our democracy, and it starts now. I think I might be a little different from Jagmeet Singh in that I'm not really good at talking points, at memorizing my lines, and I just bit of a straight talker.
Do you feel, you know, I respect the fact that you're here in Saskatchewan. I think it's great that you're taking this opportunity to meet with people in the province. But this isn't a province that has a lot of federal support. In fact, for the NDP, we haven't seen an elected official here for over a decade.
Yep.
So, you know, you're not going to win a seat if an election were held tomorrow.
I don't think politics is just about, like, you know, can we pick up a couple of seats here and there and what do we have to say to do it? It's about presenting an actual alternative vision for where our country's going. Mm-hmm. And I think people in Canada feel today like our country is headed in the wrong direction. It is so expensive to feed your family. It's $1.80 for gas in Saskatchewan today. It's worse in other places in the country. The price of housing is out of control. Our healthcare system is going down the tubes. These are things that Canadians used to be proud of. And meanwhile, we're talking about making big changes, nation building projects, you know, build, build, build. But none of these things on the table, which Carney and Poilievre, the Liberals and the Conservatives, are pretty much marching in lockstep on, are actually addressing the everyday emergency of just getting by in this country. We've got solutions for those problems that we think Canadians are going to be really interested in because we're laser focused on the cost of living.
So the solutions for those problems often come with some sort of programs. We know programs are paid for by economic expansion.
For sure.
So how does your vision fuel, I'm going to use that word purposefully,
yeah.
How does your vision fuel economic advancement for Canada so that it allows for those types of, you know, abilities to make improvements, whether it's in healthcare or whatever?
Yeah. Well, look, we have a situation in Canada where the cost of living crisis is being driven by the fact that we got a handful of big corporations that dominate every single sector of our economy. We got five big grocers, right? They control 80% of the food market. They fix the price of bread for 20 years. They get caught charging for they underweigh the meat and then they overcharge for it. They get busted again and again. They collude. They price fix. We got six big banks made $70 billion in 1 year last year. The oil and gas industry is going to make $90 billion in profit this year alone because of the illegal, immoral, reprehensible war on Iran by the U.S. and Israel. And there is a lot of money being made in this country. We need a tax on wealth, just a tax on the top 1% of 1-2% a year of the wealth in this country would generate $40-60 billion a year for the programs that Canadians rely on. So we think that corporations are just funneling up all the wealth in this country and that working people are having an incredibly tough time getting by. We need to balance the scales and invest in things that actually help people.
So the notion, I mean, working people, and this is a big part of, I would suggest, what Saskatchewan has to offer. Our superpower is we've got an incredible group of talented,
hell yeah,
caring, hardworking people. A lot of them, Mr. Lewis, work in the oil and gas sector.
For sure.
Right? And so, you know, your vision clearly, and you've talked about this quite openly, when it comes to fossil fuels, is, I would suggest, significantly different than where the province of Saskatchewan currently is and sees it. And there are a lot of people who are probably listening to this conversation right now who pay for their kids' soccer practices, pay for the roof over their head, the groceries, because of the fact they work in that oil and gas.
Oh,
industry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So how does your vision align with something that Saskatchewan can grab onto? It feels like it's almost polar opposite.
So the only thing that we've said is we can't keep endlessly expanding fossil fuels in Canada. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to talk about the climate dimension at all. Let's just talk about the economics. Okay. 100% of new electricity demand on planet Earth last year was met by renewable energy all over the world. California just installed in the last 3 years enough battery storage to be the equivalent of 12 nuclear power plants in 3 years. When they have peak periods in Saskatchewan, almost half of their grid needs are met by battery storage now. The world is moving on, and we are doubling down on fossil fuels, which right now, because of the war, et cetera, is unbelievably profitable. Today, Daniel Smith and Mark Carney are going to celebrate the fact that they've eviscerated the last remaining carbon price policy, last remaining climate policy in Canada, basically. Carney's done away with all of it. And we're just gorging on the boom cycle. But people in Saskatchewan, Alberta know that the bust is brutal, and we are not actually thinking about the future. So what we're saying is not that we should shut everything down tomorrow. We have never, ever said that. That's an industry talking point that they trot out anytime anyone talks about anything else other than endless expansion. We bought the industry a $40 billion pipeline. They made piles more money on it. Yeah, there were some short-term construction jobs, but the oil and gas industry has figured out how to make a barrel of oil with 45% fewer workers in the last decade. They are automating these jobs out of existence, and we need a long-term plan.
Isn't that every, like, aren't we automating much in the world today? I mean, oil and gas, you gave an example, but that's not necessarily standalone.
100%. No, it's happening in a lot of industries. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those family-supporting jobs, we owe a debt of thanks to fossil fuel workers, kept the lights on in this country for more than a century.
And nobody's for decades.
Well, nobody's talking about shutting everything down tomorrow. We are actually talking about building new industries that we need: manufacturing, clean manufacturing, transportation, electric transportation. You had a little company called STC in this province for decades and decades. The buses moved freight. They moved people in this vast province. They got people around. It was assassinated in 2017 for ideological reasons. It was still profitable, right? As a crown corporation, as a public service. And now if you don't have a private vehicle, you're SOL getting around this big province in a lot of places. So we need an electric bus revolution in Canada. There's a New Flyer bus plant in Winnipeg, and these can be anywhere in the country, that's got $13.5 billion of back orders making electric buses for municipalities all across this country. The problem is the private sector is never going to do it if we just throw our money at them, like the government's throwing money at oil and gas, throwing money at automakers. And it's corporate. Well, my grandpa David Lewis called corporate welfare bums in the 1970s. We need some public ownership in key industries to build those industrial, unionized, family-supporting jobs in communities, making electric buses, putting a heat pump in every home and slashing people's heating costs and cooling costs, because we need air conditioning now in these hot summers and smoke season, which we used to call summer, and putting jobs in communities and building those jobs out first in nation-building projects before we ask a single worker to transition.
Avi Lewis is my guest, the federal NDP leader. It was literally moments after you were announced to be the new federal leader that NDP leader Carla Beck from our province put a letter out, basically on notice to you: your strategies don't align with the way we think here in Saskatchewan, including our provincial NDP.
Oh, so you're an NDPer now, Evan?
No, I'm saying her letter said,
I read the letter. Yes.
So I know you've since had a conversation. I also know you're not meeting with Carla Beck in this visit to Saskatchewan. So what do you think of that? What do you make of that fracture, which I know exists with the leader of the NDP in Alberta as well?
Yeah, well, so Wab Kanu said the day that I was elected leader, we don't have to agree on every little thing in order to do big things together. And there are things like the calling for a ban on surveillance pricing, this creepy practice of big tech and big retail charging individualized prices by spying on people's browser history and reading their emails and stuff like this. Carla's calling for that in Saskatchewan. Wab has already implemented it in Manitoba. We've called for it nationally. There are lots of things that the NDP aligns on. And we have this difference about the how to deal with the future of oil and gas. But look, Carla is laser focused on this unbelievable thing, this leaked SAS Power memo of $28 billion price tag to continue forever the use of coal that'll double people's electricity bills in Saskatchewan. She's got her plate full trying to hold Scott Moe to account. And I appreciate that. Our teams are in touch. We've had conversations. And I think a lot of this has been, you know, there's a shuffling around period when there's a new leader. People are calming down and we work together where we agree. And it's a Democratic Party right there in our name. We're allowed to have differences on specific issues.
Avi Lewis is the federal NDP leader. We've only got about a minute and a half left. Quick question. Do you want to be prime minister?
Oh my God. Yeah, of course.
And so knowing that the most success the federal NDP have seen is when they govern closer to the center of the political spectrum, I would suggest you are not close to the center. You are on the left side. Do you have a hope or are you happy playing the role where you represent a number of Canadians who have the same ideological view as you, but likely not wielding power in all?
No, I don't see politics that ideologically, to be honest. I don't think most people do. I think what we see is like the 1% against the rest of us. And I think people across the political spectrum understand that the richest in society are getting unbelievably astronomically richer. And one in four Canadian parents has skipped a meal or cut back on portions in order to feed their kids. We are in a crisis of the cost of living in this country, while hundreds of billions of dollars of wealth is made by the richest of the rich in banks and big industries. And we need a government that is prepared to go and get some of that money for people and actually restore our healthcare system, create good, clean jobs for the future of this country, and actually take care of each other, which is why the CCF NDP has its birthplace right here in this province, where people are lovely, take care of each other, have a basic appreciation for cooperation and kindness that is at the root of the values of the NDP.
Mr. Lewis, I know you've got lots of places to go, but we appreciate you making a stop in here today. Thanks for the chat.
Real pleasure. Thank you.
Avi Lewis is the federal leader of the NDP. We'll take a break, come back, and get ready for open lines in a moment here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show, and thanks again to Mr. Avi Lewis, who is the federal NDP leader. There were so many questions. I mean, the problem is you get someone stopping in for a quick chat. There's lots you can't get to. One of the questions I was wanting to ask is, I mean, he doesn't have a seat yet in the House. When is that happening? But I think it was important to try and get out. I mean, he is in, let's call it what it is. He is in hostile territory, even though we have got a number of NDP voters in this province provincially. The stats speak for themselves. It has not been a federal consideration for voters in Saskatchewan to any degree for over a decade. That's my point to Mr. Lewis. You know, if there was an election today, you're not winning a seat in Saskatchewan. So what's the strategy? And, you know, the view on fossil fuels, to me, even after hearing his explanation, I'm not sure that it's garnering any significant voter support in Saskatchewan. I want to hear your thoughts. We can go into whatever discussion you want. In fact, we've got Premier Mo coming up at 9:30 on the show today, and we've also carrying live the announcement, the handshake, the signing of the documents between Prime Minister Carney and Daniel Smith coming up. Lots to talk about today here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.